A $2.5 million Bugatti crashes into a wall. Every atom remains, the carbon, the aluminum, the rare metals, yet the car's value vanishes instantly. What disappeared wasn't matter, but arrangement. This distinction reveals something profound. Information isn't abstract code floating in clouds. It's physical, embedded in how atoms organize themselves. When we grasp this, economics transforms from a social science into a branch of physics. The Bugatti's worth lay not in its materials, but in their impossibly precise configuration, one arrangement among countless trillions. This is why a Rubik's Cube, with its 43 quintillion possible states, has value only when solved. The rarity of ordered states makes them precious. Every product, from smartphones to skyscrapers, represents a victory over randomness, atoms coerced into improbable patterns that perform useful functions. Understanding this physical nature of information bridges thermodynamics and trade, explaining why prosperity clusters in certain regions while eluding others. The universe marches toward disorder. Thermodynamic laws are unambiguous. Entropy increases, systems decay, order crumbles. Yet here we are, living, thinking, building civilizations of staggering complexity. This contradiction tormented 19th-century physicists who couldn't reconcile observable reality with fundamental laws. If entropy always wins, how do babies grow? How do forests emerge from seeds? Ilya Prigozhin cracked this puzzle by showing that Earth functions as a special pocket, an out-of-equilibrium system continuously fed by solar energy. Like whirlpools forming in rivers or hurricanes organizing from atmospheric chaos, life and civilization emerge naturally when energy flows through systems. Earth exports entropy to space while building complexity locally. This framework connects biology to economics. Both involve systems accumulating information through energy-driven processes that resist entropy's pull. Humans possess a unique superpower. We externalize imagination into physical objects. Hugh Hare, after losing his legs to frostbite, built robotic replacements and now walks on crystallized pieces of his own mind. An apple existed before human consciousness, but apple products existed in minds first. Both contain information, but only the latter are crystals of imagination. This reframes global trade as exchanges of embodied imagination. Chile exports copper to Korea while importing vehicles, maintaining monetary balance but running an imagination deficit. Brazil ships iron ore to China and receives electronics. The trade balance looks healthy, but imagination flows outward. Products distribute knowledge we don't personally possess. Using toothpaste, we benefit from chemistry expertise we lack. Driving cars, we access engineering knowledge beyond our comprehension. Products let us borrow capabilities from distant minds, augmenting our natural limits. Creating complex products exceeds individual capacity. Many countries produce shoes, few manufacture helicopters. This disparity exists because knowledge and know-how are heavier than the products embodying them, trapped in human bodies and networks rather than easily transferred. Learning requires practice and interaction with experts, creating geographical concentration. The person bite concept captures the maximum knowledge one human can hold. Products exceeding this limit require teams functioning as distributed computers. Ford divided Model T production into 7,882 tasks, an upper bound since many tasks share overlapping expertise. Despite increasing complexity, mega factories haven't proliferated endlessly, suggesting a firm byte limit where production must distribute across firm networks. Ronald Coase explained why. Transactions involve costs in negotiating contracts, monitoring performance, and resolving disputes. Firms exist as islands of conscious power, where hierarchy replaces market signals, but only until internal coordination costs exceed external transaction costs. Modern computers exemplify this. Combining Intel processors, Samsung memory, and LG displays, each firm focusing on core competencies while markets coordinate the whole. Trust forms the invisible architecture enabling these networks. Mark Granovetter found 56% of professional workers located jobs through personal contacts, with these positions offering better pay and satisfaction. Francis Fukuyama distinguished familial societies, where trust limits to kin, from high-trust societies, where people trust beyond family, a cultural difference profoundly shaping economic structures. Familial societies spawn many small family businesses, but few large conglomerates, while high-trust societies create professionally run organizations of all sizes. Silicon Valley versus Boston's Route 128 illustrates this perfectly. Silicon Valley thrived through dense networks, open labor markets, and porous firm boundaries. Companies competed fiercely while learning through informal collaboration. Route 128's secretive corporations and centralized hierarchies caused it to shrink while Silicon Valley exploded. Network size determines economic complexity. Larger networks produce more complex products and greater prosperity. Industry location matrices reveal nestedness. Less diversified locations possess subsets of industries found in more diverse ones. Honduras exports 50 products. Argentina exports 25 of those, plus 202 others. This pattern reflects knowledge accumulation. Ubiquitous products are simple, garments. Rare products are sophisticated, medical imaging devices. The most complex products emerge from highly diverse countries, while simpler products appear everywhere. Moving complex industries resembles moving jigsaw puzzles. The more pieces involved, the harder the transfer. Industries succeed where related knowledge already exists through established sectors. This diversification toward related varieties explains why curtain producers pivot to tablecloths, but not espresso machines. Malaysia's 1980-1990 diversification shows economies expanding toward related industries requiring similar knowledge rather than leaping to unrelated sectors. Economic complexity, measuring export diversity and ubiquity, predicts long-term growth. Countries with complexity exceeding their GDP per capita grow faster over decades, suggesting products determine equilibrium income levels. Seeds elegantly marry information and know-how. A seed contains not just DNA, but organelles, without which genetic information remains inaccessible. This integration allows efficient biological reproduction, explaining how rabbits colonized Australia in under a century. Economies lack this elegant integration, unable to pack know-how as efficiently as organisms, despite embodying greater know-how in larger networks. A factory's blueprints cannot produce products without skilled workers, specialized machinery, and established supply chains. Even with complete documentation, rebuilding Toyota's production system requires years of training and ecosystem development. This explains why know-how remains geographically fixed while products diffuse globally. A smartphone ships worldwide, but manufacturing knowledge concentrates in specific regions like Silicon Valley, Shenzhen's electronics hub, and Germany's industrial corridors. The universe comprises energy, matter, and information, but only information requires mechanisms to emerge and endure. Energy flows allow self-organization in out-of-equilibrium systems, while solids provide stability against entropy, enabling information to persist and recombine. Humans uniquely deposit information in objects, transforming our world through atomic arrangements. We crystallize imagination by manifesting mental fiction physically, from spears to spacecraft. But crystallizing complex imagination exceeds individual capacity, requiring networks functioning as distributed computers. In the eternal dance between information and computation, our planet rebels against universal entropy with information-rich pockets, where we form relationships and create a godless miracle from modest physical principles. We are the universe organizing itself, fighting chaos one atom at a time. Every smartphone embodies billions of years of accumulated knowledge: semiconductor physics, battery chemistry, signal processing, interface design, crystallizing collective human imagination into impossibly precise atomic arrangements. These devices distill the expertise of thousands whose combined knowledge exceeds any individual's grasp. This is our species' triumph. Not that we know everything, but that we've learned to pool our fragments of understanding into networks, generating complexity beyond any single mind's comprehension. We are stardust that learned to think, and then learned to think together.